for length, I'm going to pick the first D.
Welcome to our Film Fathers podcast, the definitive podcast about fatherhood, film, and fatherhood in film. This is Jelani, and with me as always are two perfect eggs, Martin and Brady.
I have the advantage. I can only see the world as it should be. And when it is not, the imperfection stands out like the nose in the middle of a face. It makes most of life unbearable, but it is useful in the detection of crime.
The crime is murder. The murderer is one of you. I've investigated many crimes, but this has altered the shape of my soul.
This week, we dove into two new literary-inspired movies, which meant jumping aboard two dangerous excursions that were brought to life by Agatha Christie, 2017's Murder on the Orient Express and this year's Death on the Nile. Were the books better than the movies? Were the remakes better than the originals? Who done it?
This was a lot of who done
it. It really was. And I know I was pushing for these. I think when Death on the Nile came out, or not came out, when it was
available.
Watch. Yeah.
Yes.
More available than some. But yeah, it was everywhere, essentially. I'm really sorry I made us do these.
I was going to say that I was going to be Martin, money on the table. Brady hated these films. Hated them.
I like a whodunit.
Yeah, but not these.
They sucked.
I could have cleaned house on this bed.
Both.
I think I would have predicted that you didn't like it either.
Really not good.
I had seen the
like
original.
I'm really sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, I'm glad to watch them.
I'm genuinely sorry that I like brought this up that they should be watched.
Wow, that bad?
That bad.
Jelani?
I did not enjoy the first one.
Yeah.
The second one
no way you could have enjoyed the first one.
The second one was more predictable, but I kind of enjoyed it more.
Yeah. And I agree. But I had seen Murder on the Orient Express from 1974 before, so I knew the ending. I knew everything going into it. But I still thought that one was okay. And then, the Death on the Nile, I agree. I called it.
Well, coming off of what you just had watched, I feel like you were framed. Your mind was able to frame, like, what I think it was easier to probably predict because you're coming fresh. But or at least that's what I thought. But
like you know the style.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I was legitimately thinking during like the whole second half of Death on the Nile because I was very uninterested. Was maybe there's just been so many better.
You wanted Knives Out.
I wanted anything entertaining. Like I like a good murder mystery.
Yeah.
Name another one though. I don't even.
Gone Girl.
This isn't it though. Like
Gone Girl's amazing.
This is what.
And that book is amazing.
This is what somebody thought a mystery was 70 years ago.
Right.
And we're well past that. Like people have tried and done better jobs of making shows, movies, whatever, better at being a mystery. This was just like, at least the first one I was borderline mad at. Like, that's how they decided to do it.
But you asked the question, are the books better than the movies? You haven't read any of the books, have you?
No.
I just assumed you did.
I have not, no.
I think somewhere in our house we may have Murder on the Lynx.
Okay.
Which obviously fits into what I do, murders and mysteries and golf. But I have never read any of these. I don't think I've even read. I've gotten through some of And Then There Were None, but not really any of her writings.
I remember I think that was the play. I did go to see The Mousetrap in London. I think that was based on And Then There Were None. Maybe not. Maybe something else. But I've seen a couple of Agatha Christie things. And yeah, I've never been so enthralled that I'm like, oh, I want to read that book. Like, that's amazing. But I like that it is so old and it's still, to me, it kind of was entertaining. Like I didn't hate him, but I didn't love him. And I was very surprised that you just recommended it. Cause I'm like, oh, Brady must,
because I like a good murder mystery.
But this is not, what about like Sherlock Holmes stuff?
And they
like,
keep remaking it. And I felt like there must be some validity to this. Well, Kenneth Branagh apparently just really
that's what
likes
I was going
to
say. Let's go there. Let's go to Kenneth Branagh. Do we like him as a, well,
I'll be honest. As a filmmaker. I'm not, before this, I don't want this to skew my opinion.
Yeah.
I shouldn't judge his filmmaking ability, but I don't necessarily think, I don't really have an opinion of him. Mm-hmm. I don't like him or dislike him. He's just a guy who's probably a really good actor who I have never really been overly impressed with.
He's a big Shakespeare guy.
Yeah.
So,
and I like his Shakespeare stuff.
You like too. His Shakespeare
yeah.
stuff?
I was going to say, yeah, I just remember, like, for, in high school, like when we did Hamlet and college stuff, like I remember watching Henry V, Hamlet, and Much Ado About Nothing, which I really like. I think Much Ado About Nothing is a really good, fun Shakespeare movie. Brady would hate it, of course.
All right.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, I think he's a good filmmaker too. And I think he did a capable job on these two. It's just, but I think the Rotten Tomatoes scores probably says it all. They're like right at 60%. This is about a 60% movie to me.
I'm infuriated that 6 out of 10 people would like this.
I don't know if 6 out of 10 people truly enjoyed this. And I just think...
I can tell you that 0 for 2 did in my house.
I think part of the reason was the way that they told the story. I'm okay with having multiple storylines and multiple backgrounds. And like we've seen that in tons of the movies. Like Pulp Fiction does it really well, where they have all these vignettes that come together. And then you see how they all interconnect. And this is where you have, you know, you have all these people on the train. They all have backgrounds that all kind of weave together and tangle in. But you can even see that, like, that didn't work for today's audience to save that all to the end. Because then when they go to Death on the Nile, they flipped it. They, like, told you straight off the beginning, like, oh, yeah, she went to school with this person.
Yeah.
She knows that person. This is how they're connected. This, like, get it out of the way. Then let's go down the murder mystery part, right? And I think that served the movie better than just saving it all for the end and having
but,
you like.
But that tells me exactly what I'm saying. It's like, whatever, 70, 80 years ago, she had the same formula. All right, I'm just going to get a bunch of people who know each, who have a connection in the same place. And I'm like, all right, neat. It didn't really work once, let alone repetitively.
Well, I thought the thing that bothered me about even the first time I saw years ago, Murder on the Orient Express, I just don't like the way that he figures out that they're all, he's just like, he makes, I know that's the point of what he deduces, right? But it's just like, oh, and you must be the nanny and you must be the chauffeur. And it just seemed, it didn't seem like he would actually.
A kid
right.
on a Fuller.
All of it just seemed kind of
hokey.
Yeah, hokey. Yeah, far-fetched and hokey. And like, I don't know that he'd get there as fast.
So he's, as an actor, and I think I remember saying in Tenet, that I didn't think he was right for that role. I didn't really particularly like him. And I don't know. He just doesn't. I'm changing my mind in mid
pod. Yeah, that's good.
I'm sure he's a good actor from a Shakespeare standpoint, theater standpoint. He's probably phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I know he was just nominated for
Belfast.
Belfast this year. Right. Yeah. So he's clearly accomplished, but. I don't know. I just don't think
you're not going to rush to watch Belfast, though. None of us have seen it, right?
What's really funny about what you just said is the first note I had about Murder was that the mustache is just obnoxious, and I get it. It's like part of the character that she wrote. I also feel like it doesn't have to be
so extravagant.
Right. Like it's ridiculously over the top, and maybe that's the point, which I guess it's flying over my head as to why that's relevant. But so later on I was like, no, he's just obnoxious. The character is just obnoxious to me. So that is what it is. Until I was reading about Agatha Christie in the 60s, she wrote in her, or it was revealed that she wrote in her diary that she found poor Poirot insufferable as an egocentric creep. And I'm like, this is exactly the problem. He sucks. He's like obnoxious on screen. And she even got to that point. And she wrote him.
You don't have any soft spots for know-it-alls?
And it's very funny that you brought that up, because that was kind of the same genesis for Stan Lee to create Tony Stark, which he's like, I want to create a character that nobody should like. Like, God, this guy should just be a jerk. Too. Right, exactly.
I like the jerks.
Brainy, eccentric, know-it-all, billionaire. Like, nobody should like this guy because he's just a jerk, but yet...
Could only check a couple of those boxes.
It flips, and you're like, everybody loves Tony Stark, right? Yeah. So,
well, when RDJ plays him, for sure.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely. And he embodied it, you know, perfectly. But yeah, versus Poirot and this, I said the same thing about this.
I think Kenneth Branagh's much more likable than Albert Finney. The way Albert Finney plays Poirot in the original Murder, like he definitely, you could see him, he just doesn't and I love Albert Finney. I think Albert Finney's great, but he plays him as a more dislikable person, even though I think Kenneth Branagh has adds a certain charm to the character. And maybe that was, you know, that's the way he just wanted to play it. But you guys obviously don't agree that he was somewhat charming, somewhat likable.
I get that that's what they were trying to convey.
Yeah.
I felt like he was just really obnoxious.
But I think that goes against what you're saying, what Agatha Christie wanted. She wanted to make him a little bit more less likable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I mean, and maybe that with her, it just aged out over enough time. You write enough novels about him, and maybe this is only two of, I don't know exactly how many he's in,
yeah,
but it's numerous.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was over and over again. I mean, yeah, to your end is what kind of did it for me, or didn't. Was over and over again. It was, yeah, he what he was figuring out, quote unquote, because he, and he'll tell you, is the best detective in the world, is there was no rhyme or reason to even get to that insinuation, but he kept doing it. And I get it's a movie, I get it's a book, but it's just like, okay, yeah, I guess you're the best when you literally can just say something and it's true automatically, but with no, really nothing weighting it down.
Yeah. I think you get more of the charm in the second one. You know, the first one, you're right, he's insufferable. He might have a quip or here or there, but, you know, it wasn't really just like, I'm not feeling the way you're going about detecting this. You know, especially when we've seen other detectives like Daniel Craig in Knives Out, where you're like, excited to see what he's going to do and how he's going.
Even though we didn't really, yeah, that wasn't the best part of that movie.
I'm going to disagree with you about him being, yeah.
And I always wondered if
somehow they decided, someone saw it and were like, we need more of him in this role.
And that's kind of what I feel like with Daniel Craig, he was trying to go for some weird accent, someone kind of, yeah, maybe we're basically being like Hercule Poirot, right?
Poirot.
Yeah, I can't say it right.
No one can.
That's the point, right? But when, yeah, how early did you both know in Death on the Nile?
Oh, Death on the Nile. Sorry, I thought it was. I was like, I didn't know the first.
No,
one.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think most people would be able to predict.
I will.
Murder
that'll
on
be the
Express.
Only thing I will give credit for in that movie.
It was a surprise.
It's
right?
Different than it's everybody.
Yeah,
because you are
spoiler
trained to look.
For
someone, yeah. Or maybe a partner.
Yeah.
No one, in my opinion, was without some insight, was putting together that literally everyone on the train is involved. That is unique.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why it hasn't been done again. I'm not sure. But so.
I think that's why it's famous. I agree. I think outside, like, you take everything else away, that's a unique idea.
Yeah.
And probably back in the day, it was probably revolution, you know, like everyone was blown away by that kind of a.
Yeah.
That kind of a turn, that kind of a twist. So,
sure. So yeah. full credit due there. That I will say that idea I did appreciate
right,
as
so
being
go back to hating. It doesn't sound right. You saying something good about it.
But on Death on the Nile, I'm trying to think exactly when I remember being pretty confident, but
I figured it out when they had the fight, when Jackie came in and was fighting or yelling at Armie Hammer. I forget Simon.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, that's it.
When she shot him, you mean, or before then?
Right in that scene, like when she comes and starts yelling at him, and then ends up like shooting at him.
I knew it was. Yeah. I knew she didn't shoot him. I felt like I saw him grab his leg. I'm like, he's got fake blood. I don't know why. I just thought that, and it turned out to be right.
I didn't even catch the fake blood, but I felt like the shot
was way off.
Way off. Yeah. It didn't make sense.
It didn't seem right. Right. And then when they showed the gun going under, you just knew there was something gonna be going on there, and that's the same moment for me. So like I didn't know that Book was going to be, you know, in love, that he was in love with
Letitia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there were some other things that I didn't call that the cousin was the one that tried to kill him on the ledge.
Yeah.
I did not see that. Those things were twists. I was like, okay, yeah, I didn't know that. But like definitely that the two of them were in it together and that they were just in it for the money. I also suspected it earlier on when they were, when he was trying to get her to sign
the
thing over. I'm like, oh yeah, he's just doing this for the money.
Right.
And it just seemed, and at that point it just seemed like, well, if that's it, if I called it at this point, like why are we even here?
Why are we fucking around? Just end the movie.
Well,
now.
In the very beginning when they danced again, you know,
yeah,
I was like, oh, they just have a history. I wasn't thinking right out of the gate that they were just going to end up together. I thought the looks seemed more like we know each other and she doesn't know that we knew each other type of thing. But yeah, I really was hoping it would be a lot better than it was.
Yeah. I think the studios thought that too. I mean, the first one.
They did make a second. So. Right.
And you know, they loaded it with people that.
Well, let's talk about the cast in the first one, because it's. I mean, it is
star studded.
100%.
So I mean, you start off with Ratchet / Cassetti, played by Johnny Depp.
Are we Johnny Depp fans?
Yeah,
it's a crucial time in the ether right now. I haven't really been following.
I know. Yeah, I guess I haven't. I've been told some of the stuff, but yeah, outside of whatever else going on in his personal life, I think he's made some great movies.
Yeah,
and he's been in good stuff. Yeah. First movie ever, Nightmare on Elm Street, classic.
I think
classic
I heard horror. That about yeah. it.
He's very good in it too.
Michelle Pfeiffer's.
She always gets a lot of love through the years. People seem to love Michelle Pfeiffer. It's like
No.
I was just waiting for you to go more, but
no. I never was like, she's fine in this too. Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think I remember her having her moment, obviously back in the day, but I don't know that I fully understand your comment about everybody wanting her and things.
I felt like she was on pedestals, but maybe not. Or yeah, on a pedestal for maybe. Many people.
Dame Judi Dench.
Always love M.
Right? Good M pull in there. Olivia Colman, who I didn't realize right away.
Yeah, that's definitely, you could tell by the size of her role, that was early movie role stuff for her.
Yeah.
Because she's a very bit player.
Right. Is it early before, like, because she got nominated for stuff, I think, probably right after this, right?
Yeah, I wonder. I didn't look. I just, the size of the role is why she got nominated. What was her first? Was it a period piece movie?
Yeah, wasn't it?
Because I knew her from British shows, which she was great in. Mm-hmm. But
The Favorite. That's it. And then I think she's been in The Crown, which is what
The Favorite's more recent than 2017.
2018, though, yeah. So you're right. More recent.
Penelope Cruz.
Yeah.
In a different role. And we, you know,
very,
kind of, very, very toned back, very quiet and kind of just blended in the background. Josh Gad. Probably coming off of his Frozen fame.
Yeah.
Leslie Odom Jr. from his Hamilton fame.
First real movie for him.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, too?
That's what I read.
See, it's so funny because I keep thinking of this one as newer as well, just like Death on the Nile, but it's not. Yeah, it's from 2017.
Yeah.
And I've seen him in a bunch of stuff since, but yeah, you're right. It's all been after.
Yeah.
Daisy Ridley.
Yeah. I literally had to look her up. I was like, I know this girl, and I can't figure out why I know her.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, it's Ray. I don't know what I was just glossing past that. I don't know if it was her being like done up or what. Like,
I think that was pretty much what it was.
It really threw me, and I was like, I mean, I very much recognized that I knew her. I just couldn't place it. And then for it to be that, I was like, wow, yeah, I'm really like really slipping.
And then the two cameos that I saw, and I was like, oh, okay. Masterman was Gracchus from Gladiator.
100%.
I had to look him up. I'm like, where do I know that guy from?
Who's a very... I knew that one immediately. He is apparently like a very well-respected like stage actor.
Okay.
They said something along the lines of like Depp. In like Depp's first scene, he like has to like scream at him or something. And he like told Brown to make sure that he knew that it was like... He wasn't like mad or anything. Because he like he was revered.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know that about him. I mean, I knew him as Gladiator. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Before I get to the other cameo, I forgot. Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot he was even in this one. As the Pinkerton.
Yeah.
Right.
Pinkerton detective.
Yeah.
Former cop.
And then the other cameo that I saw, which I don't know if you guys would have picked it up on, but did you see who Colonel John Armstrong was?
No, but I see what you wrote down.
I see your note,
I didn't
too.
Know that was him.
And
that
I really didn't him? See that either.
I saw it through the flashbacks. I'm like,
well, what? Say it.
It's Phil Dunster, a.k.a. Jamie Tart from Ted Lasso.
From Ted Lasso.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Just in the flashbacks, really quickly. Okay, yeah. Very briefly. Yeah,
in the films that face. They were watching.
Now, do you know, not to be confused with Jason, Tom Bateman, who played Book?
Book. I've not seen him in anything else.
So I saw him in a... I looked him up because I was like, oh, the Bateman thing. Not that I even thought there was like a relation. I just was curious on the name.
No relation.
And as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh my God, that's him. He was in a show that we watched on Netflix, Mary and I, last year, I think, called Behind Her Eyes. This was like, he's like a shrink,
mm-hmm.
and it like starts with him like having an affair on his wife with this girl, who turns out to be like starting to work for him.
Okay.
And his wife is like very crazy vibe going on. And then it the show really falls off.
Netflix.
It was a Netflix show.
Yeah.
And it really turns into something else by the end, but I'll save any spoilers in case someone does want to watch it.
62% Rotten Tomatoes.
Wouldn't strongly recommend it.
Who's the lead actress?
Eve Hewson and Simona Brown.
I don't think you're going to know either one of them.
Okay.
Because I really don't know that they're in anything.
Yeah.
But he was the guy in that, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's him. I completely didn't put it together. I think it was because the two characters are so, like, he's very jovial and over the top in, like, in these movies.
Yeah.
And he's like the first build in Death on the Nile, which is kind of odd considering the cast.
I thought that was a little whatever, you know, that they coincidentally see each other both times. I don't know. It's just like.
Well, it's because it wasn't a coincidence.
And the second one, it wasn't?
No.
No.
Oh.
Did you fall asleep at that part?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that part.
Nobody's going to blame you.
Yeah, you're right. He was there for that. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
My bad. They explained away the coincidence.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, I was like, he's out there. It was funny that I really didn't put him together, but.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. The Jamie Tartt cameo is pretty good. I don't think I saw or paid enough attention when those flashback moments were happening to even try to pick up on that. It was like, could have been anybody, and I guess at the time it was nobody.
Yeah, but I think the movie initially, the first one came out, and I think it doubled or tripled its money back. So again, they have to do a cash grab sequel, and they ramp it up.
So people went to the theater to see it.
That's
what we're hearing.
I think it did pretty well. Or not. Yeah, I mean, it did pretty well. You know,
I mean, 60% of the people that left said not bad.
And then they ramped it up and they spent more money on the location. Now, I don't know if that was actually
filmed
on location.
Because I saw more very obvious green screen shittiness.
Yeah. It looked like green screen to me, too. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe they just spent a lot on the FX budget.
Just put a couple rocks together and say it's the pyramid.
I think they spent a lot of money
on the pyramids.
getting Gal Gadot and probably overpaid for Armie Hammer based off the way things went. But
yeah, what's with the problematic males in both of these movies? Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well,
they both end up dead, so.
That's true. In the movies, to be clear. Just so everyone's on the same page. But.
Yes, so they built up the cast again for the second one. Obviously, Gal Gadot is the lead, and then Armie Hammer comes in. Letitia Wright, fresh off her Black Panther fame. Mm-hmm. And
She fresh off that at this point? Fresh at this point?
It's not.
A little stale at this point, but
I mean,
it's okay.
That's a strong word. I'm just saying fresh seems strong.
Okay, so maybe not fresh, but known for.
I mean, it's 4 years.
Russell Brand.
Did we need Russell Brand to be looking
that not Russell Brand?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, was it like he's like, I gotta be in this, I'll do whatever you need me to do, and they're like, how about you wear glasses and wear like a short blonde wig?
How about you're the complete opposite of what everyone knows you to be?
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't be funny.
Just to show that you can play that character, I guess.
Like the first time I saw the preview, I was like, I feel like I know that guy, but I don't know who it is. And then I'm like, that's Russell Brand. I'm like, okay. And then after watching the movie, I'm like, why did they get Russell Brand to do that?
I think he probably wanted to do that just to like diversify his portfolio. Yeah, it didn't need
everyone
to be him.
Wants to work with Kenneth Branagh, apparently.
He probably saw
he gets Oscar nominations, and we know that's what's important.
I'm gonna assume he's related to Agatha Christie in some way, shape, or form.
Annette Bening.
Yeah.
Oh, she was in this.
She was able to yell. And then the two stragglers, the secret lesbian couple, we'll say.
Yeah.
I don't know them from anything, okay. But what I read is that they are like this British comedy duo, like from like in Britain. They are very well known and like I think hadn't done anything in a while, and then they kind of, so I don't, maybe that's a Branagh thing,
possibly. Absolutely Fabulous is the show that they had, and it was huge. I mean,
yeah,
I think every time like BBC or something like that always ran them, and so they were,
but I think if I read it right, it was like a comedy show.
Yeah.
They weren't funny.
Nobody was funny.
Why were they? Why would you cast like this famous comedy duo to play morose, like potential lesbian couple that doesn't do anything really? It makes no sense. Did they cut all their scenes? I don't.
Yeah. I mean, they could have been funny, but they were not.
I just think
they didn't have to be funny. it just makes no sense to hire a comedy team
right.
to play not funny.
I don't know. Maybe people that know that and enjoy, I don't know. Maybe there's somebody, maybe the Brits really enjoy this movie. I don't know. And they just love.
That'd be good to know.
It feels
for
like
the fans, for all our I know we're worldwide, so yeah. For all the
prestige,
the listeners,
wide.
For all the listeners out there from the UK and beyond, please let us know why this is really good in Britain and London town.
I think you're right, Brady. They overcast both of these movies. Like, they put people in it just to throw names out there and didn't let them cook. They didn't let them do anything.
You didn't call out, and I get it, because the name, it probably wouldn't have done anything. Sophie Okonedo?
Okonedo? I think it's Okonedo.
It's not Jose's sister.
No.
It's spelled differently, I can assure you. Oscar-nominated Sophie Okonedo, the singer.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know where she's from?
No.
Hotel Rwanda.
Oh, okay.
She was nominated for your Oscars.
Yeah.
And
my favorite, the Oscars.
And I was like, damn, that's good. I mean, I didn't recognize her. I've seen that movie.
Yeah.
And in looking it up, I'm just like, I remember now.
But she sings the bluesy music.
She
very
was
well.
Good. She yeah. was really good. I thought she was
a bright spot.
Very well cast because I don't know that everyone can do what she did, and she did it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What about Emma Mackey?
Is that
the main?
I looked her up because villainess. She has
I've never seen her in anything before, but.
She's got a crazy look.
She does. Is it bad that I like it?
You know what it is? I know what it is.
What?
It's the crazy look and that hair
and
combo.
The red hair.
Not the red part. It's just, it's like
it's
the cut.
Short.
The short.
Yeah.
It's the, I know it. I know, I can identify this. It's, it's this blend that hits and it's like, boom, done.
Yep. So Gal Gadot or Emma McKay, did Armie Hammer pick the wrong friend?
Neither one of them was overly likable. Johnny, you can answer.
I'd go Gal Gadot.
I think I'd go crazy.
Yeah.
Emma Mackey.
I think I might be leaning crazy, too.
In this movie.
Yes.
Maybe not in every universe.
Clearly.
But in this
clearly.
Movie.
Yeah, I think I'm plotting. I'm plotting to kill.
That's awesome. That's the soundbite I wanted. good times, but yeah, no, not really good times. Because yes, this wasn't a good movie. I don't think.
No, but it really feels like it had no chance. Like it just, there was a lot wrong over and over and over again. I mean, it was very disappointing.
It's like you said, it's got to be a cash grab sequel because the first one made money, and so they just tried to.
It feels like they waited a long time for a quote unquote cash. I feel like you that's a the qualifier usually is you're throwing that one back at.
COVID, yeah. So it might have had plans to do earlier.
I think it probably started out a lot. Yeah, it probably was planned to come out, you know, 2020.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then just they shelved it and then brought it out later.
Did you give Rose Leslie a call out?
I did, and I was waiting.
Yeah, we have to, yes.
From Game of Thrones
fame. What was her,
she's
her
got
name,
something.
Her character
Ygritte.
Name? Yeah.
Ygritte. She's got something coming out.
You know,
I just saw her in a preview of something. I was like, oh, that's her. Oh, and I was like, why are they doing it? But I just realized it's a show. The Time Traveler's Wife.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's
a big, big book as well.
Oh,
I haven't
it?
Read it, but yeah.
Well, I knew the movie. Was that McAdams?
And Banna.
Yep. Banna.
Oh, yeah. They did make a movie out of that. See, I thought. And now it's a show.
Now they're making a show. I saw like a poster, like essentially, of, and I was like, oh, they're remaking that movie? I was like, God, it hasn't even been that long. But they're remaking it as a show. I guess I can. I flex a little more leeway in terms of trying
they're
because no one
on
bothers.
They can,
why create anything new if you can just? I can turn that movie into a show. Sure, okay.
Well,
she's in it, so
yeah. I think where we're at with movies these days is just that there's better mystery movies out there.
Well, it's because they're just
it's a shame because you want this to be really like I think like what you said you wanted it to be really good. You want to have something else other than Marvel movies, even though we like them. You want to have some original, I guess this isn't original because it's old stuff. So, yeah, come up with the Knives Out, right? Come
Martin
up with something completely new.
Really, really wishes he could just go back and live in the 60s. And then and at that point, he would find this very interesting and mysterious. And
right.
Like,
well, I'm just
you've
just
seen
mean
too
that,
much. Your brain is, you've seen too many mysteries.
I just want there to be difference. I want there to be, there haven't been a lot of whodunits. So like you want, when one comes out, you want it to be good. And when it's not, I'm just disappointed in the fact that they're just going to go back to not making, not trying anything different or not trying anything new.
Yeah.
Even though, like I said, I'm not saying this is a rehash.
I guess my question is, they remade this movie and then they remade Death of the Nile.
Is that an old movie though too?
Did there is an old movie. That? Is that not the same thing from the, like, 77? I think I saw.
Oh, I don't. I didn't look. I knew Murder on the Orient Express.
I didn't look into it, but I just, if it's something different, it's weird that it's called the exact same. So
you're right. There is 1978.
My question is: are the other
Betty Davis and Angela Lansbury and Mia Farrow?
Are the other ones worse? Are these other novels like worse than this? They'd rather remake these than like pick from one of the other
Agatha Christie.
Yeah. Like, you could have picked any of her books and made it a movie, right? Presumably. Like, you're picking one that's already been done.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
To me, what you're saying. And in my eyes, isn't that great. So the other ones either are worse.
Probably.
Or some, you can't figure out a way to make it into a movie.
Yeah. Do you think that if you took just, like, the themes and then spun it, like, completely different? Like, what I'm thinking of is, And Then There Were None is kind of like everybody's trapped on an island and then people start dying off, which I think is the Haunted Hill, House on Haunted Hill.
House on Haunted Hill, yeah.
Is that the one with Taye Diggs and Famke Jensen and
Owen
Wilson?
I always get these confused because there's the Haunting of Hill House and then there's the House on Haunting Hill. I think you're right. Yeah. That's House on Haunting Hill.
And I think that's kind of like a play on... And Then There Were None.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just wondering, like, can you take those themes and then make a new movie about it and have it?
House on Haunted Hill.
Yeah. Okay. House on Haunted Hill. And kind of like reinvent it or kind of redistribute it, the theme for these times versus just taking the straight material and making it exactly the same. Like, take the theme, take some of the elements, and then kind of update it.
Yeah. I think you had a good point when you said Gone Girl early on. Like, that, yeah, that was a really good movie, really good story, really unique
book.
Yeah, really unique kind of take on the kind of twist of a whodunit or what really happened.
Right.
Maybe not so much a whodunit because it's not really a murder, but we should do that one at some point. It's a Fincher, Garner? Right?
Yeah. I looked it up. David Fincher, it's got to be a Fincher. Just the way it's done and the way it's shot.
He's such a good filmmaker, man.
I would actually like to rewatch that again, too.
Yeah.
I remember liking it, but...
Yeah. I read the book a couple of years ago and then rewatched the movie, and I was like, damn, that's good.
Yeah, it's a really, really good adaptation. Might be one of the best adaptations, honestly.
Well, Fincher stopped making shitty like passion projects that his dad wanted something to do with and gets back to making some fucking awesome movies, and I'll feel a lot better. We'd all be better off.
Or just finishes, what is it, Mindhunter?
Or goes back to Mindhunter, that plays too.
But yeah, I take your point, Brady, that... Yes, why aren't they doing a different Agatha Christie? It's kind of like Sherlock Holmes, too. Like, people always talk about Hound of the Baskervilles. I don't even know if they've made that into a movie or something. But, like, they always kind of go back to the same stories that people know instead of maybe digging deep into it. Although Sherlock the show
was
so good. Because they did. They took it and modernized it all. And it was, they just took the concept of what people know in Sherlock and made it completely better.
Well, that feels like, in my opinion, they hit it out of the park, too. The casting was perfect. Yeah. Benedict was just perfectly odd.
Yeah.
And Martin Freeman.
Writing, really.
Agreed. Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with it being the writing. I just think you can miss, and they didn't at all. Yeah, it felt like they hit on side characters. It was just like, God, this is just perfection all the way through.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just curious. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know her work, but I mean, they said she wrote like 66 detective novels, and I know there was a whole bunch of them were Poirot, so you would think, again, maybe not, but you would think that there's other ones out there for someone to acquire and try to make into a movie.
She's done the whole Miss Marple thing too, Agatha Christie. That's like her female
detective. Poirot.
Yeah, female detective, but I haven't seen any of those, if they're shows or movies. I think it's been done.
I'm not familiar.
And there's a whole show too.
Is there a whole series like Masterpiece Theater or whatever?
Yeah.
It's
a speaking of PBS stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember that, and I forget the actor who played that, but I remember seeing that. Like, my mom used to watch those as well. And so, you know what I think I miss is the bumbling detective, like the Pink Panther style, where it's just like you have somebody who's
Mr. Bean.
Bane. Why was that show funny and good?
I don't know, but I
liked it.
Me too. And I have a feeling it would not do well right now.
I don't think so.
But yeah, just again, like, as we said,
you like Pink Panther?
I remember liking the first one, the Peter Sellers ones.
Uh huh.
Not the
There's
Steve.
No way we can get Brady to watch those, the old school ones.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe someday.
I've told you, I'll watch what you tell me to watch. I clearly have already. I just, you know, if it sucks, it sucks. I'm going to say it.
I'm going to say it out loud.
I didn't think I was going to say these sucked. And then I watched one and I was like, good Lord, was that not good? And then the second one. Oh, man.
Well, we'll try. Probably not going to get him any farther back than any like old film noir because this just won't take.
We'll get there for Noir November.
I want stuff to be good going in.
that's what I was saying. Yes, I want different and more movies to be made, but we'll see. Instead, they're making Power of the Dog and Death on the Nile.
Power of the Dog. Fuck.
As always, thanks for riding with us. Give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and subscribe wherever you follow. Thanks, and go to bed.